Father, I just thank you for tonight and what you're about to say and what you're about to do. We release ourselves higher into the third heavens. We thank you, Father God, that we are not in agreement with the spirit of Hydra, the principality and power of Hydra. And if there's any agreement within any one of us, that it's broken, as you spoke earlier through your Son. We thank you, Father God, for the word and the message that's going to come forth. I pray that there would not be any distractions, and that your people would receive everything that you have for them in this hour. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse my nose and throat and all of that. I don't know why I still want to storm. Tonight we're going to be talking about let brotherly love continue. In asking the Lord what he wanted me to teach on, I kept hearing the phrase brotherly love. We are in an unprecedented time in history where we are being challenged by darkness. Darkness in people, in the principalities and powers of darkness who want to destroy just for the sake of destroying. And I think that we don't really understand what demons are and what their purpose is. And for all of us who have been through deliverance, we know they can wreak a lot of havoc in our lives. And I think that there is a general not knowing that they have a purpose of destruction. They have a purpose of destruction because that's what they were created to do, to destroy different things, different targets. Sometimes you're the victim of that. I don't believe that God ever intended for us to be the targets of these demons, because they are demonic angels. And as we go through tonight, we'll see the rest of what I believe God is wanting to share. But have you ever really thought about this? It's not something that we think about, but there are demonic principalities and powers who thrive on destroying. Even the little simplest thing of greed, you know, whatever principality or power or spirit gets behind greed, it doesn't stop there. You have to have more and more and more, whether it's food or money. Gambling is a really big thing right now. I'm hearing more and more people in the church saying they're scratching off their lucky numbers, or they're secretly going up to Dover Downs and pulling the handle down. All of these things are traps that the church and the body of Christ are getting into, that it's one thing builds upon another, builds upon another, builds upon another, and then there you are. You're totally bound, and you don't understand what happened. And it starts off with a little simple thing. Have you ever thought about what this would look like in a person, this mentality or this ideology of destruction? In reality, we see this every day. Picture someone that is miserable, unhappy, and complaining. When you see that, you see someone who is under the influence of a demonic spirit, and that thing is working on the inside of them. They may never come to you and say what's going on, but if you watch the fruit, if you watch the behavior, they're not happy. And something has gotten down on the inside of them to make them not happy. And we as the body of Christ have to start taking a second look. Not so much to point the finger at the person and say, hey, you know, they're evil and they're going to be cut off soon. Yippee. You know, we don't do that. God is trying to birth compassion within us on a new level and a new way so that we go into a deeper place of intercession for them. You have to remember, God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't want anyone to be afflicted with these demons. But he can't, because there's certain laws that are in place in the spiritual realm, he can't stop them from doing their job. They're set to destroy. So when you get into a pattern of life, for whatever that pattern is, your behavior will attract either good or it will attract bad. And a lot of people in the body of Christ right now that don't understand what's going on with their lives, why they're suffering, you know, why things are not going the way they want them to do. What behaviors have you had up until today that have caused these demons to say, oh, I get to go fulfill God's law, and I get to tear them up, and I get to destroy them? And that, this is something that I was pondering on today, but it really is becoming alive. And I think as we go through our lives and our walks with God, there's a deeper level of understanding that He's trying to teach us. You know, because, and as we talked about this in the exorcism school, God was the one that created evil. And he did it for a purpose. He did it to do, it's like a cleaning system for Him. Okay, here's whoever, they're doing whatever that's wrong. I'm going to speak to them and tell them, fix this. If they don't, okay, system A is going to come and clean up this mess that's going on, because it's corrupting everything else that's going on within in my heavenly kingdom, in my earthly realm. And all of these systems are in play, and they're just on automatic. And I think the sooner the body of Christ realizes that, the less fighting they will have against God and what God is doing. No condemnation. It's just the reality of who He is and how He works and thinks. It's really brilliant when you think about it, because then He doesn't have to touch you. He doesn't have to be around you. He can just send His automatic system to go clean. I wish we had one for our houses. They could clean the dirt out of our houses. It would be so lovely. But when you think about someone who's miserable, unhappy, they're complaining, you will most likely find that some type of demonic spirit is at work. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 to 14, and we're going to be reading from the Amplified Version. I sometimes read the Amplified Version because it has the extra words, and I think that it helps me understand what the author was intending when he or she was talking, this particular time it's a he. While Jesus was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this destruction of the temple take place? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end, completion, consummation of the age?" Verse 4. Jesus answered, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. For many will come in My name, misusing it and appropriating the strength of the name which belongs to Me." I thought that was significant, because a lot of people say, "In the name of Jesus, come out," or "In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get my blessing." But are they really saved? Do they really have a connection, a love for God, a love with God, that would give them the right to say, "In the name of Jesus"? There are many people in the body of Christ who don't. They don't have that connection. But God's word doesn't return to Him void. So if you use His name, if you use His giftings, He's going to work. Because again, that's His law. His word is what it is. And it will accomplish everything that He sets it forth to accomplish. Doesn't mean that the person saying it is right or is going to make it to heaven. And I think a lot of times we look at people who are on TV and we see them, they're quote unquote doing miracles. Things are falling into place for them. They have money. They have everything that they want. And then 6 years down the road, you found out that they've got 3 wives, 10 children, you know, and it's a lifestyle that does not fit what the Bible teaches. God's law remains true and to what it is. And it's crazy, because sometimes people think, "Well, how come He's not doing that for me? How come I can't get into sin and have all of these, you know, fun things that some people think?" He's not allowing you to have that because He's got a special purpose for you. He's not allowing you to be able to do those things because he's really ordained for you to have a relationship with him so that you can experience his presence, his goodness. And if you would hold on, the real blessing will come. And a real blessing will be his presence, not things, not people, not fame and notoriety. It would be far better for us to have a relationship with God than to have all of the things of the world. That stuff is going to, it's going to be burnt up. It's going to pass away. And when you step through the door from this realm into the next realm, you're not taking none of it with you. You're not taking the money, the fame, the fortune. The only thing that you can take with you is other people who listened at the message that you preached, and they followed you. They followed you as you followed Christ. And then those people, when you get to heaven, are going to be grouped around you because you helped lead them to Christ. Those are the only things that you're going to be able to take. And we have to shift our focus and stop thinking about things and notoriety and fame and go after the souls. Go after the thing that is always going to last. Because as a soul, as a spirit, that's going to live forever. This stuff's gone. It's already dead and over with and decayed. And we have to trick our minds into thinking this way. Verse 6 of Matthew chapter 24. You will continually hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. That is not yet the end of the age. Verse 7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all of these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs, of the intolerable anguish in a time of unprecedented trouble. Then they will hand you over to endure tribulation, and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Verse 10. At that time, many will be offended and repelled by their association with me, and will fall away from the one whom they should trust, and will betray one another, handing over believers to their persecutors, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will appear and mislead many, because lawlessness is increased, and the love of most people will grow cold. But the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end of the age will come. This is the things that we're supposed to be telling people about, that there is going to be suffering. People are going to be offended. There is going to be persecution that's going to go on. And all of the other things that are in this list, it's not what you have. It's not, you know, your status or your notoriety. It really is, and it boils down to your relationship with Christ. If you don't have that, you're severely lacking the most important thing that you should ever desire to have. If you're in a prison cell, it's the only thing you can take. If you're in situations where you feel isolated and completely alone, no one can come in that situation with you but Christ. Think about all the people who have been prisoners of war over the years, or they've been in places where Christianity is persecuted, and they can't openly express or practice their love for God. They are totally and completely alone, even though they know there's other Christians out there. They know that there's other worshipers out there. They can't express it. And some of us are in situations where it's hard. It's a deep, dark hole. And the only one who can get down in that hole with you is Christ to help bring you up. If you don't have a relationship with him, you won't even think to ask to come up. You won't even think to invite him to come into that hole with you. This is how real things have become. When Jesus spoke to his disciples here, he was explaining to them what things would happen. The destruction of the temple is directly talking about the physical temple in Jerusalem. Now I want to ask you a question. Is it possible that Jesus was talking about you as a temple? When you look at what the enemy is doing to people, he is causing them to destroy their temple. It can be from overeating, drugs, unmarried sexual relations, impure married sexual relations, pride, whatever the sin is. These things are ultimately set to destroy the person, the physical body. When that destruction takes place, think about what we were talking about earlier. The demons are attracted to that. They want to inhabit and infest that because that's food to them. It lines up with their purpose. It lines up with what they were created for. They were created to destroy. So the more that a person engages in anything that is not godly, it's a beacon. It's a Holman beacon for them. And they, if you notice, they bypass people who are living completely godly because they want the right or the opportunity to not only take over that person who's bogged down in behaviors that are bad, but they want to bring in their friends. They want to bring in their buddies so that they can do more destruction. And then you will find them fighting each other inside of you to control you. You will find them fighting each other, trying to destroy each other to see how much damage they can do to you. And it's a whole competition thing that they have with each other. And you're a victim. You're a victim because of the behaviors, but you're also a victim because these laws have been set in place to take you away from the presence of God so that you don't corrupt what God is doing. You don't corrupt the presence of God. And they're having a ball. Think about this. They're not going to be destroyed for destroying you because they're doing their job. At the end, all of the evil, they're going to be packed up. They're going to be put on hell, in hell, and hell is going to be cast into outer darkness where they can continue to do all of their destruction, all of their damage to each other, and they're going to be away from the presence of God. Have you ever thought about or considered that? And they're going to do it forever and ever and ever and ever, time without end. It's difficult to fathom that, but when you start thinking about things that way, it really helps solidify what purpose you want to get into, what purpose you want to have with your life, because we're destined. You know, just like the song said tonight, this is not my home. You know, this shell that we live in right now, the darkness that we have to live in right now because of, you know, we're waiting for certain things to line up prophetically before Jesus comes back. This isn't our final resting place. And we have to stay in touch with that. We have to stay connected to that and realizing, why are we getting comfortable with the things of the world? Why do they have more pull on us, more sway than the presence of God? Because that's what we're going to be, that's what we should be shooting to live in, to live for, forever. I know this is Thanksgiving and I did not know that it was going to go this deep. I'm sorry. But it's just something to think about and to really consider. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, collectively and individually? So the destruction of the physical temple is a sign, and the destruction of a human temple is a sign. Jesus was warning the disciples about these things so that they would not be caught off guard. We have to heed these signs as well so that we're able to be ready for whatever God sends our way. Jesus talked about false Christs who will deceive and trick many people into believing that they are godly and doing the right thing. There are many motives for this, but we must be aware that Jesus was talking to his disciples and explaining to them that this was going to occur. Why? It was going to be people who were once godly who would be committing these errors. So these false Christs that are out there right now, they did at one point in time have a relationship with God. They did have a strong presence of God with them, but they got into some type of error and they started claiming that they were still saved. Like, it amazes me now. There's so many teachers who were prominent in the 80s, in the 90s, and they got into sin because one piece of the Bible they said is not true. Like, one of the common things right now is that there is no hell. And they say God would never send anyone to hell. And they ride this thing to death. And it's not only do they believe it, but they teach other people to believe it as well. They make the claim that because there's no hell, all of the other preachers know that there's no hell, so they're doing what they want to do anyway. And it's so destructive. So their error grows, but not only does their error grow, their fame, their notoriety grows because, well, at one point in time, they were used in healing. At one point in time, they were so popular that, you know, they made people big in the church. You know, they gave people different things. You know, one point in time, they gave them money or they gave them a home or something like that. And instead of looking at the behavior and the doctrine and the truth that they're walking in now, they're saying, well, they were okay then. Even though they slipped into a little bit of error, they're all right. They've become a false Christ. They've become a false prophet for God. And if you listen at the things that God's teaching us and telling us, he doesn't want that type of character to be inside of us. He wants us to have the level of character where we don't do those types of things. It would be foreign to us to say anything false or to say anything wrong, because we want to truly represent Christ in purity. We want to represent the virtual Christ, not just something that's made up, not just something that is not real, because we've tasted, we know of what his presence is. All of us have felt God touch us at one point in time or the other. And once you've had that, you know you can't go back. You know you can't do things the way that you used to do. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he knew that it was going to be people who were once godly who would be committing these errors. Think about this. I think for myself, I always thought that this scripture was talking about people who were not saved who would attack the church. They would pretend to be false Christ. They would pretend to be, like, there's a couple of people running around now saying that they're Jesus. They actually have the name Jesus, and believe it or not, people are following them. But Jesus wasn't talking about this in this particular incident. In reality, Jesus is trying to warn the disciples that people who once loved the Lord would allow for deception to take them over and cause them to do things that would not be fitting for a child of God to do. I think that as we get closer to the end, we're going to see things in Scripture from a different perspective, because we're going to actually see it come to life. I never imagined, you know, this scripture meaning this or having a potential to mean this. Verse 9 is a key transition for this talk that Jesus is having. I'm going to go back and read it. You can stay where you're at. Verse 9 says, "Then they will hand you over to endure tribulation and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name." in there, in verse 9, he says, then they will hand you over to the unsaved. But in verse 10, it says that many will be offended. So, who is going to be offended? Will the unsaved people be offended? And really think about this. Why would the unsaved people be offended? Because they already hate us as Christians. It's going to be your brother and your sister in Christ that will become offended with you. And this is really starting to occur right now. Stop teaching that you got to live holy. Stop teaching that I have to walk the same way that you walk. You really don't have to follow the whole Bible. The Bible is just a bunch of stories that are not meant to be taken literally. God understands you living an alternative lifestyle. Why are you so judgmental? The offense of the truth. Because the truth is meant to be offensive. It's meant to confront you. It's meant to make you look at yourself. You know, just like Pastor Werber said in the message Sunday morning, you know, God is wanting us to investigate ourselves. You know, judge ourselves and look at ourselves and find the things that are in us that are not pleasing to Him so that we can get them out and be free. Because this isn't our home, because this isn't the place that we're supposed to stay, God doesn't want us to live in torment. He doesn't want us to go to hell. And we have to constantly think about that and remind ourselves about that. Verse 12 gets to the heart of the matter. Because lawlessness is increased, the love of most people will grow cold. Because lawlessness is increased, the love of most people will grow cold. With all the messages that God has been speaking to us about, the one thing that remains is that our love for God must not be allowed to become cold. If our love for God becomes cold, it will open the door for all of these other things that we talked about earlier. If your love becomes cold, you will become easily offended. The message was, it was directed at me. They did that on purpose. They know what I'm into, so they intentionally made that up. They didn't look at me right. They didn't speak to me. They didn't send me an email. They didn't call me. You will become offended at someone's non-responsiveness to you. And it really has nothing to do with that person. It's God trying to bring to light the darkness that's inside of you, so that He can push it up to the surface and you can start crying out to Him to be set free from it. If our love for God becomes cold, it will open the door for all of these other things that we talked about earlier. It will also open the door for us to be demon attractors. Demons will flood themselves to you. They will find a way because there's a void there. There's an emptiness. And they are seeking to fill it just like the Holy Spirit is seeking to fill you. It's critical here tonight that we see the bigger picture. God isn't asking us to stay in the love walk just because it's the right thing to do. He is asking us to stay in the love walk because it's a protection against the evils of this age coming to rest inside of us. The reason why people are being separated and divided is because they have something in common with this world. They have something in common with the darkness that's going on. We also talked about this in the exorcism school. You know, Jesus had no thing in common with this world. So it was easy for Him to cast out devils. It was easy for Him to listen to the voice of God and to follow what God wanted to do because He wasn't desiring the things of the world. The more that we walk in this darkness, become accustomed to it, start making excuses, well, that's okay, I can listen to this, I can watch this, the more we just, I can let my guard down just a little bit in this area here. You know, I've grown spiritually. You know, I don't have to be so rigid. Well, as long as no one sees it, I'm okay. You know, those types of deceptive thinking, deceptive ways, open the door for us to walk away from and walk out of our love walk with God. Walking out of love with God is the quickest way to fall into deception. And remember, demons want to hurt and destroy just for the sake of hurting and destroying. They don't care what or who it is. They just want to destroy. We don't come from that type of background, and we cannot even imagine a world or a lifestyle that portrays this. Every last one of us came from God, came from heaven. We were there, and he said, hey, I want you to do this assignment. And you willingly came down here to this earth to participate and to do this assignment. So you don't know what destruction is about. You don't understand, you know, that ultimately this thing that you're, if you don't let go of it, that's inside of you is going to destroy you. You came from life. You came from joy unspeakable, you know, worship, laughter, everything that's good, everything that's pure. You came from that. You don't understand what destruction is all about. You know, sometimes we'll get in a fit of rage or a fit of wrath and start feeling that, and oh, this feels powerful, this feels good. And then when it's over with, you realize what you've done. You realize that you've hurt somebody. And then you, man, you really feel bad then. But there's the demons don't care. They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. It's ha 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 ha. I got that one. I'm gonna see if I can get them again. Really, really good. You know, think about all of the sick people, Adolf Hitler, who did all of these different tortures to the Jewish people. Everything, you know, everything that he designed, he figured out a better way to do it. A better way to make the pain last longer, inflict more scars, more wounding. And when you really think about this on this level, it was the demon that was inside of him that was driving him to do these things. There's no end. There's an insatiable lust for destruction, and it just never ends. And sometimes people, and we see this and we hear this all the time, you know, people get in a fit of rage, the demon jumps in them and it really just obliterates somebody. Actually, I'll give you a real case in point right now. There's a woman who's in jail in Millsboro who was abusing her children. She was beating them with baseball bats. She's in jail right now. She's in Baylor. This happened just this week. She just got caught. The kids have been left with her since July. Locked them in the house. It's not her as a person doing it. She was a willing vessel who got into habits and patterns and behaviors, and the demons were attracted to her, and they acted out on her children. Demons don't care how old the person is. Again, it's about the destruction. It's about destroying something. And when you leave yourself open to that, and this person grew up in the church, this person grew up with godly parents, godly family. I happen to know the family. There's no reason for this other than behaviors. This is very, very real. It's very real. We don't come from the type of background, and we cannot even imagine a world or a lifestyle that portrays destruction. It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our reasoning capacity. Is it safe to say that there are things that God knows about the devil and his angels that we don't? is it safe to say that they have the capability of destruction far beyond anything we can even imagine? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 16. This is God speaking. Listen carefully. I have created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and who produces a weapon for its purpose. And I have created the destroyer to inflict ruin. This is God saying that he's done this. This is God speaking to us with a warning that we need to comprehend in this season. The devil and his angels are not playing. They were not created to have mercy. That's a concept that'll really get you thinking. They were not created to have mercy. God has mercy. He stops. You look all through scriptures. You know, God set out, I'm going to destroy this. And somebody interceded. Somebody prayed. And God said, okay, I'll stop. Multiple accounts, because it's in God's nature, it's in his heart to do that. David sinned so many different occasions and different times, and God went after the people, and David wept because he knew the people didn't do anything wrong, but because of his sin, God destroyed them. It's something when you really think about the different aspects of God that people in the church don't want to talk about. You know, this is real deal stuff here that I believe would help people understand that time is short and that life has to go on. It has to, you know, you have to live for your purpose. The devil and his angels aren't playing. They were not created to have mercy. They were not created to be nice. They were created to inflict ruin. Exodus 9:12. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen or pay attention to them, just as the Lord had told Moses. I put this in here because this was an example that there are people that God has created to do evil things. Just like we were talking about Hitler earlier. And God used Pharaoh against the nation of Israel because they got into disobedience. And God was trying to prove a point to them that I am God. That I am greater than anything. And he used Pharaoh. And he caused Pharaoh to harden his heart. This was a human being. There are going to be people in your life that God has set up to harden their heart against you because he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get your attention. And you have to have the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ and realize what's going on and get into a place or a mode of repentance or get into a place or a mode of understanding that there's real serious business that's going on right now. And the choices that you make affect whether or not you will step into eternity with him or step into eternity and be away from him. Have you ever thought about the fact that God made Pharaoh and that God hardened his heart against the nation of Israel? God made Pharaoh harden his heart on purpose so that he could show himself strong to the Israelite people. Matthew 25:41. Then he will say to those on his left, leave me, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. God never intended for any of us to go to hell. It was a punishment that was for the demonic angels. It was a punishment that was for the devil. The love part. We have to let brotherly love continue. We all are in relationship with each other. We're all in relationship with the body of Christ. And we are going to be tested on all sides and in all ways. And as we stay in a love walk, we cause the demons to not have a foothold, to not have a stronghold in those relationships. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. And I have several different versions of this because I wanted you to see the total picture of what's going on here. And I'll start with the New King James. Let brotherly love continue. The Amplified version says, let love of your fellow believers continue. The Living Bible says, continue to love each other with true brotherly love. Hebrews 13:1, in the Contemporary English version, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. It's our responsibility as brothers and sisters of Christ to look out for each other, to be concerned, to be compassionate, to be listening to the voice of God so that He can use us to help one another. This brotherly love thing is real. But you have to understand that with that, there are people who are sent into the body of Christ by demons to bring separation, division, strife, and discord. And we all are going to have to ask God to give us a greater level of discernment to know who truly is a brother or a sister and to know who isn't. This is where it gets complicated, because in one sense of the word, you have to have compassion because you don't know, ultimately what God is doing. And in another sense of the word, you have to be wise, because you could be casting your pearls before swine. You could be casting your pearls before a Pharaoh, and God may not want you to do that. Until you know for sure what's going on, I would err on the side of this is a brother or sister in Christ, and intercede and pray for them. It's going to challenge you. It's going to push you. And it can't hurt at all to love. It can't hurt at all to be selfless, to give of yourself, because this is what Christ would do. Even up until the time people walk into hell, Jesus Christ is still going to see them or talking to them and ministering to them. And it's even said that Jesus walks through the corridors of hell weeping. It's too late for those who've entered into hell now. So if Jesus is able to do that, how much more should we treat our brothers and sisters with love? How much more should we have a desire to intercede and to pray for them? Not with any selfish motive or selfish desire, but out of a pure sense of love from Christ. We're going to come into a time period, and we've talked about this before, but I believe that God wants us to know and to understand that we need each other. We do. He put us in a body to help each other. He put us in a body to encourage and to lift each other up. And when another's down, we need to be there. And if you can't do that with the understanding of just wanting to do it, think about you being in a situation. Wouldn't you want somebody to come and help you? Wouldn't you want somebody to intercede and to pray for you? You don't necessarily have to have them come touch you or talk to you or anything, but it's nice to know. For me, it's nice to know that all of you all are praying for me. It's nice to know that if I get down, if I can't get back up, that this body of Christ, my friends, everybody here is praying for me. And there should be no doubt in each of you all's mind that the same thing is occurring from me to you, from other people inside of the body of Christ, because it's our duty to love one another as brothers and sisters. Everyone has rough edges. I have some rough edges I'm working on, and I believe that God is carrying me through and buffing those things off. I don't remember the scripture exactly how it says, but a friend sharpens another friend, as iron sharpens iron. You know, we all have our rough edges, and as we buffet each other, you know, those rough edges are being buffed off so that we can be true warriors. If you look, let's go militarily here. If you look at some people, some teams that are put together in the military, let's look at some of the SEAL teams. They've got different skill sets. They come from different backgrounds. But when they have been taught, all of that goes to the wayside for the purpose of the mission. All of that gets dropped. And whatever I have is yours, and whatever you have is mine, and we work together. In the body of Christ, we've got to develop this mindset, because it's about to get rough. It is about to get rough. I believe after President Trump gets out in another 5 years, we are going to start seeing some severe persecution. Unless God puts in another godly person, we are going to see some severe persecution. And now, while things are really good, we need to develop our relationships and our friendships. Not from a manipulation and control standpoint, but from a standpoint of letting each other know, hey, I'm here for you. I'm willing to pray for you. I'm willing to intercede for you. I'm willing to have God have you buffet me so that I can become a better person. I have become a better person because of the buffetings that have occurred from each and every one of you. And I'm hoping that the same thing has happened to you. There's buffetings that have come from Pastor Barber to me. It's made me a better person. And I want to challenge you to not resist that buffeting. Let that buffeting take place, because it's not being done out of spite. There's no destructive nature in Pastor Barber. She's not looking to destroy you just for the sake of destroying you, because she's not a demon. I'm not trying to destroy you for the sake of destroying you, because I'm not a demon. And I think if we get a different mindset about some of the things that go on, it's and put it in a perspective of, hey, this hurts, but it's going to make me better. This hurts, but it's going to make me stronger. And if we do that, you know, Sister Barber, you're in relationships with a glow. There's a lot of buffeting going on over there. It's a lot. You can't run from it. You have to embrace it. You just got to embrace it. And every last one of us are in different situations. Now, when I say embrace it, that doesn't mean be dumb and become a doormat and just let people run all over you. That's not God's will. It's not God's will. What is God's will is that you learn, you grow, you develop character, you listen for His voice. When He tells you to move, you move. So don't go stupid. Don't go stupid. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Dedicated service. Again, this is, let your brotherly love continue. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. By the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, we have to develop some ethical attitudes, because some of the attitudes that we have are not of God. So that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you, to not think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think. That's a lot. And all of us have, again, we have different skill sets. We have different talents and gifts in the body. And if we're not careful, we can get into a place of saying, I'm better than you, and you need to take a back seat. It should never be that way. It should be, I have a gift, I'm sharing it. I have a talent, I'm sharing it. I'm giving it. You know what the crazy part is? People in the world get this, and they're applying this principle, and they're kabillionaires. I don't even know if kabillionaire is a word. But they are. The church isn't getting this because I got something special. I got to keep it to myself. I have to make sure that I'm the only one that knows how to do it. When you could just give. Give, teach, give, teach, give, teach. And what happens? It sets the atmosphere. It sets an attitude where everybody's like, wow, I can do the same thing. And everybody grows. Everybody benefits from this. If you look at the example that we have set before us, Pastor Barber gives you everything. Just literally everything. She don't say no. She just, okay, this is what you want to do here. We have to have the same mindset. We have to have the same attitude. Because we're all trying to grow. We're all trying to accomplish the mission. You know, this again, this goes back to the military. We all come from different backgrounds, different things that we struggle with. But for the purpose of the mission, the purpose of the vision, to win Lower Delaware and the Delmarva Peninsula to Christ. We have to continue that, no matter what. Verse 4, I believe. For just as in one physical body we have many parts, and these parts do not have all the same function or special use, so we, who are many, are nevertheless just one body in Christ, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent upon each other. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them accordingly. If someone has the gift of prophecy, let him speak a new message from God to his people in proportion to the faith possessed. If service in the act of serving, or he who teaches in the act of teaching, or he who encourages in the act of encouragement, he who gives with generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy and caring for others with cheerfulness. Love is to be sincere and active. Love is to be sincere and active. The real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. It's not corrupted. It's not two-faced. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Why do you think he said that? Because these are the things that attract those destroyers to come in. And if we all, as a body of Christ, guard against these things, we can keep the destroyers from coming to us, coming in this place, disrupting what God is doing. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection, as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor, never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the Spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because our confidence in Christ, steadfast in patience, in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom. You know what one of the best things you can say is, I don't know. Someone asks you a question and you really don't know, I don't know. I will help you find the answer. It's so liberating to realize that you don't have to have all the answers. It's such a liberating thing to be in a position, in a place where you can be open and honest and say, I don't know. But you're whatever. I honestly don't know. Never thought of it, never heard of it, never considered it. But to have a pretense or a level of pride that says, well, they can't know that I don't know that. I'm going to fake it. I'll tell you what. Technology is such a blessing. I'll say it that way. I was talking with someone, and they sent me a video that they wanted me to look at. And I told them that I would look at it. So I did what I was supposed to do. And I looked at the video. I don't know how he did this, but he pulled up and said, yeah, somebody from Delaware looked at this. Was that was you, wasn't it? And I thought to myself, thank God I didn't lie. Thank God that I actually did look at the video, because I would have been caught. He would have known. He didn't tell me that he had this ability to do this. So how many times has someone said, can you do this for me? Oh, yeah, sure. Be aware. be very, very aware, because they just may never tell you that they know that you didn't do it. See, it's be honest. Hey, no, I didn't get a chance to do that. I didn't get a chance to read the email that you sent me, but I will. Those little things cut you right off at the knees. Show your character, you know. It's better for you to be honest and say, hey, I forgot, than to lie and have to try to cover your tracks and figure out a way to get it done before they realize that you didn't do it. Wisdom, guidance, and strength. Contributing to the needs of God's people. Contributing to the needs of God's people. Pursuing the practice of hospitality. Pursue brotherly love. Let it continue. I want to close. Father, I thank you for everything that you brought out tonight. I thank you for the things that you are delivering to us as your people. Bring us to a new place and a new level of loving one another and loving your spirit and your presence. Father, we are grateful for who you are and what you're doing in this season. I believe the Father wants to impart to you tonight a newness and an ability to come deeper with him in this area. So the altar's open for you tonight to come and receive.